In his new book, The Optimistic Leftist, Why the 21st Century Will Be Better Than You Think, Rui Teixeira, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, takes aim at the pessimistic view that dominates today's left. That view is as follows. One, progress in today's world has largely stopped and in many ways reversed. Two, the left is weak and at the mercy of the right. And three, the outlook for the future is bleak, with ordinary citizens suffering even more deprivation and the planet itself sliding toward catastrophe. Rui Teixeira says all of these propositions are wrong, believing it is not the case that progress has stopped. Today, he says, we live in a freer, more democratic, less violent, and more prosperous world than we ever have before. Again, the name of the book is The Optimistic Leftist, and we welcome Rui Teixeira to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Delighted to be here.
How can you be an optimist?
Well, that's a pretty straightforward question, and I'll tell you why. I think that while there are certain unfortunate events that have happened recently, I think if you take a fair look at the history of the left, its prospects today and prospects for the future, I think there's considerable grounds for optimism. I mean, in the past 50 years, the left has attained dramatic improvements in people's welfare, improved the environment. Obviously, there's been tremendous progress on social equality and tolerance, and I do not think all of that is going to be rolled back by Donald Trump. I think he's pushing back against it, but I think the tenor and context of public opinion in this country will prevent him from going too far in that direction. And it's important also to note that the left, as opposed to the right, has a growing, not declining, coalition. And while Trump was able to take advantage of some strategic votes in strategic places, the long-term prognosis for this coalition, his coalition, is not good because it's based on aging non-college whites, not the kind of burgeoning constituencies that the Democrats and the left have in this country. And finally, if you look toward the future, I think, you know, a fair projection of where we're going is that society is going to get richer. It's going to provide more benefits for people. We're going to move farther in the direction of equality and tolerance. If you look at the world as a whole, it's very clear that the last 50 years have been a tremendous period of progress, economic, social, and any other way in the world. Just since 1990, the number of people in extreme poverty has declined from 2 billion to 700 million just in that 25-year period. So the world is going in the right direction, and I think our country is ultimately going in the right direction. I think the best way to think about this is a speed bump. We're now in a populist moment of Western capitalism, and I think eventually we will overcome that populist moment when we get on a better and more fruitful economic path, which I think only the left has the foggiest idea of how to get there. I mean, don't forget, Trump has promised he's going to improve the lives of the people who voted him into office. He's going to do, you know, something terrific on health care. He's going to bring back manufacturing. He's going to bring back the coal industry. That is incredibly susceptible to backlash once it becomes clear he's actually not going to be able to provide the things that he says. Ultimately, people live in the real world. They don't live on promises, and that's all that Trump, it appears, is going to be able to give them.
But even if there is failure there, and I guess my question is to hone in on the word that you used a moment ago, which is eventually. So how patient do we have to be to see this optimism? Because even if there is failure there, there's still going to be a time where we have to overcome a great divide within the country.
Yes, that's right. And I think that, therefore, no one should kid themselves that in the short term, things aren't going to get a bit rough. They are, and Trump will do some real damage, and the Republican administration will do some real damage. But I think the thing to focus in on is that these are difficulties that can be overcome. It may take several election cycles, it may take a number of years, but I think eventually we'll get there because the kinds of things the right in this country and in other countries is trying to do won't work, they won't solve people's problems, and they're going against the basic demographic and structural tide of these advanced societies. They don't represent the future, they represent the past. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't win elections. They have. It doesn't mean that they can't ride reactionary waves into power from time to time and do real damage. But I think over the long term, the left is this movement, the philosophy, the values and priorities that actually represent what people want and are going to be able to provide to people with what they want and sort of accord with the way people are tending to look at the world as we go forward. Now, as I emphasize in the book, I mean, it's crucial aspect of this is getting our country and other advanced countries on a better and different growth path. As long as we have the levels of inequality we have that have not been pushed back against, and we have this highly uneven economic development within our countries and other countries, people who feel like their communities are being left behind and there's not a lot of hope for them or their kids, this is the tinder for reaction, for right populism. And the way to overcome that is not to obviously give in to those sentiments, but to ultimately you have to get this sort of the U.S. economy to produce in a different way for people sort of across the spectrum, as it were. I think elites in the Democratic Party and elites in general have been way too complacent about the economic model we have now and how it provides such an even economic rewards for different parts of the population. I think we're going to have to do things quite a bit differently in the future, and I think that's kind of the message that is being sent. I think it's the message to a large extent that's being received. I mean, if you look at Hillary Clinton's policy ideas, they were actually like pretty good, and they might have worked pretty well. The problem is she didn't really think she needed to market them to all segments of the country, and she thought, mistakenly, I think, that she could get elected and pursue her agenda simply on the basis of, I'm not Donald Trump. I'm different from him. I'm tolerant. Right. You know, we're the rising America. They're the declining America, and so on and so forth. I mean, that did not cut the mustard with voters in a lot of critical parts of the United States, and I think that's a mistake that will not be repeated.
The book we're talking about is The Optimistic Leftist, Why the 21st Century Will Be Better Than You Think by Rui Teixeira, and published by St. Martin's Press. The thing I kept thinking about in reading your book is that we're not alone in this, are we? I mean, this reactionary path to government that Donald Trump has seen and we are seeing now is being duplicated around the world.
Right populism is being duplicated around the world and sort of in the societies that are most analogous to us, the advanced capitalist societies, for sure. But it's also important to not go overboard with a sense that this populist tide is going to sweep over all these countries and it's going to actually take power. One thing that's very weird about our country is a strength of our country, in a sense we have a two-party system, it makes it very difficult to have parties that have extreme points of view because we don't have proportional representation. However, the problem is that if an extreme candidate or a populist candidate can capture one of the two major parties, they have an excellent chance of being elected. And that's what happened with Trump. Now look at the Netherlands today. Geert Wilders' party, the PVV, is getting like 15-20% of the vote. That's not going to be enough to take over a coalition government in the Netherlands. No one wants to be in a coalition with them. They're never going to be able to approach a majority share of the vote in the Netherlands, not even close. I mean, at this point, the left parties in aggregate have way more votes, like three or four times more votes than Geert Wilders' party has, and they actually have some chance of forming a government. The AfD in Germany is also, they'll get some seats in parliament, but they're very, very tiny party relative to the other big parties in the German system. And so it goes. There is a populist moment. We do have these movements rising in different countries, but they're hardly in a position to attain power in almost all of them. Look at France. I mean, Macron and Le Pen may indeed be the two people who are in a runoff. I mean, that's weird in and of itself that Le Pen should even be able to get into runoff, the National Front candidate. But the polling data, and I guess we should all be suitably circumspect about putting 100% faith in polling data, show her losing to Macron in a two-way runoff by 30 points or so. So right populism is a problem, and I think it will continue to be with us until, again, I think, you know, societies in America and other advanced countries are on a different path where they provide a sort of rising standard of living that's less problematic for larger numbers of people. And I think we'll eventually get there. And I think, again, the left is the sort of part of the spectrum that has some ideas along these lines. But until then, we will be troubled by these right populist movements. But I don't think they're strong enough to attain and wield power on their own, except, oddly enough, in a place like the United States.
Meanwhile, we had a president from the left for the last 8 years, and there was still this sense that we were losing ground and there was great inequality, and it had been rising for decades. Did we miss an opportunity, or were we on a path to change that?
I think we were on a path. The problem is the path is a winding path, and sometimes there's two steps forward and one step back, and some of the most deep-seated structural problems to the American economy are kind of hard to fix, and especially hard to fix with the Republican Party sort of taking the stance that it did and able to take advantage of the various aspects of our governmental system that allowed them to be a roadblock. But I don't think we should lose sight that tremendous things were accomplished in the Obama administration. I mean, it was the most progressive administration and most accomplished administration since LBJ's and the Great Society. I mean, the Affordable Care Act, which the Republicans are now finding is oh so difficult to get rid of, was a tremendous achievement. Progressives have been trying to have a national health care system for 100 years. And there's a whole wide swath of other accomplishments, from the Stimulus Act to the Dodd-Frank Act regulating the financial system. He revolutionized the student loan system. I mean, there was enormous progress. And an enormous progress in the teeth of a huge recession, and then a very rather tepid recovery afterwards that went over a long period. So I think we should be amazed, in a sense, that Obama and his administration managed to accomplish as much as they did. And I think we should have some confidence that Trump and his administration are going to have a hell of a hard time rolling all this stuff back. I mean, this is really the nature of social accomplishments and social programs in advanced capitalism, is typically they get implemented, they're in some inefficient form, there's pushback from the other side taking advantage of some of the problems that people might perceive with those programs, but the other side, the right, the conservatives, are not able to get rid of the programs, and then in the end, these programs are built upon, improved, and become essentially impossible to assail. And I think the same thing is going to happen with the ACA ultimately. It will be built on, it will be improved, rather than simply eliminated, as the Republicans, at least to begin with, said they were going to do. And this is just the nature of social programs in democracies. This is the nature of, in some ways, the American people, who are fundamentally symbolically conservative in the sense they identify with sort of the conservative label. They don't like change. They sort of identify to some extent with tradition and keeping things static and salient on this very global level, that they don't want the government to do more. They want government to do less. But then when you come down to what they actually want in specific areas of their lives, of the country, of specific programs, specific issues, they basically want the government to do more and spend more. In that sense, they're operational liberals. And the task for the left always is to try to unleash that inner operational liberal that most Americans do have. And that, I think that we will unleash it further in the future. And right now there's a pushback from it on the part of the Republicans. But I think they're going to find that it's actually quite difficult to take benefits away from people and award them to the people who already have a lot of benefits, which is essentially what they're trying to do with their alleged ACA reform.
Rui Teixeira is our guest this morning, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and author or co-author of several books on American politics. The latest is The Optimistic Leftist, Why the 21st Century Will Be Better Than You Think. Not to sound overly pessimistic as we're talking about optimism, but of course, a lot of this gets down to environmental policy as well, and where we are with climate change and how the clock is ticking. I mean, just how long do we have to not deal with these very grave problems before we are in more trouble than we already are in?
Specifically in terms of the issue of global warming, I think the left tends to, while they rightfully focus on this is a big problem that we must solve and the sort of the implications of not dealing with it are very grave, they tend to lose sight of the fact that the thing on which we need to make the most progress to actually solve this problem, we actually are making enormous progress on. And that's in terms of the availability and price of clean energy. You're not going to get rid of dirty energy here and around the world until it's able to fundamentally outcompete dirty energy. And that's really what's going to drive the train in terms of the transition we're trying to make to a green economy. And if you look at the data, the rate at which solar power, wind power, various clean energy sources are becoming cheaper is incredibly dramatic. The battery storage issue that sometimes bedevils clean energy is being solved at a rapid rate. So the level of technological progress that we've seen just in the last 10 years has essentially exceeded the most optimistic projections that people had 10 years ago and that people had 5 years ago. So we should obviously be worried about this problem, but I think we should have some sort of confidence that given the market and technological forces that have been released, given the investments that are being made in this country, at least were until Trump came into office, and certainly being made around the world, are actually putting us on the right path. And what we should be doing, and unfortunately Trump will not be doing, is putting our foot to the accelerator on these changes and trying to make clean energy cheaper, faster, which is doable to some extent. But even without Trump putting his foot on the accelerator and yelling and screaming about how it's not really a problem, I think we're going to continue to make progress here and in the states of the country and in countries around the world. And that's a great thing. So I think that we shouldn't let our concerns about an issue like this convince us that it's an insoluble problem. And unless we, you know, institute a 300% carbon tax tomorrow, which, of course, is not going to happen, we're all doomed. I don't think that's the case.
Rui Teixeira is the author of the new book, The Optimistic Leftist, Why the 21st Century Will Be Better Than You Think. The book is published by St. Martin's Press. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks. Great conversation.
Thank you very much. Bye. Again, the name of the book is The Optimistic Leftist by Rui Teixeira. It is published by St. Martin's Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.